Well, let's seek the Lord for his grace, for his wisdom. Our Father, we pray that you would bless as we try and understand what it means to have a relationship with you. We pray that you will open our hearts, our minds, to understand how this works. Help us to go deeper in our understanding. We pray that you will enlighten us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to try and help you to see a link or the links that we have been working on so that we can see everything in a greater perspective. Okay? The book of Exodus is important because it gives us a historical perspective. The significance of history is that we are reminded it is based upon facts, not a story. It is from facts that we derive truth. You cannot derive truth from a fairy tale. That's why we study historically. If it is merely a parable, a story, a fairy tale, it doesn't work because you don't know whether it's true or it's not. But when it is history, then we say, okay, these are the facts. We can understand the facts. Right? 1965, Singapore became independent. We were kicked out. That is the fact. Based upon the fact, we build a truth. This is why we study history of Exodus, constant mention. Because every time we see these things here, we realize the things that we are learning are based upon factual incidents. Right? Now, this is the thing to do. Now, when we look at the book of Jeremiah, it is both history and theology. Meaning to say, the things which are taught are now put into a system. Theology is just simply a system of these things put together in a nutshell. So now we have both history and theology combined. Right? So let me share with you what we have been reading first night. Jeremiah chapter 1. The link between Exodus 6 and Jeremiah chapter 1. Huh? 11. Right? 11 and Exodus 6 are the same. This is a commentary, a theology of the history. The Lord reviews, you shall be my people, you shall be my people. But here, the history is, they had an F. Failed. Right? They failed. They forgot the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They became idolatrous. They became bad. Failed. So Exodus 6, Jeremiah 11 are linked. That is the task of us who are pastors. We study these things. We share with you what we have learned. Right? Now, this is not about, this camp is not about how to fail. This camp is about how God gives to us a future, a hope. And so we look at Jeremiah 24 and 7. And remember, it is true 24/7. That's how you know how to distinguish truth of the Old Testament, New Testament, anything that is 24/7, that is truth. At any hour of the day, it's true. That is how we look at 24/7. And what did the Lord say? 24/7. And I will give them a heart to know me. So God gives a heart to know. Right? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. How wonderful this truth is. And it's for everybody. There were people who were bad. God gives a chance. I will forgive your iniquities. I will pardon. But there are those who were not so bad. God says, I'm going to explain to you how this will work out for you. There is always a small remnant, righteous remnant. They don't go all that bad. But we still need God to help us, to bless us. We can't make it on our own. So 24/7, you shall be my people. Right? Now, last night we ended with 30, 21, and 22. What does the Lord say? Who is this who comes to me? Pledge. Verse 22 says, look at 24/7 and look at 30, 22. Try, look at it again, check it. See whether you can pick the difference. You can have an extra piece of chicken today. See the difference? There's actually a grammatical difference, but this is where the grammatical difference is meaningful. 24/7 says what? They shall be my people. 30:22 says, you shall be my people. There is a personal relationship now. So 24/7 is an offer of a relationship. 30:22 is now, let's make it personal. That's what God's offering. You can have a personal relationship now. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this morning, the two young men were desperately trying to share with you and teach you. And I hope you have been kind to them, encouraging them. What are they saying? This is what it means when we become the Lord's people. Right? This is what it means when we become the Lord. What does it mean to be God's people? Well, this is what we take a look at. Okay, look at this very, very carefully. Page 10. This is within the Lord's plan for the future. Remember, I will give you a future and a hope. You can be a great nation. This is within the concept of the covenant. You can become this. That is what they were trying to tell you. Okay, I say it very simply. But that's what it means. Number two, what else? You will be his inheritance. And I always think it's funny. Okay? Inheritance. If we inherit God, it's great. God inherits us. What does he get? $10 collection. I asked myself, what would I do with all that collection? I can't use it. If I pay $10, $10 worth, it's actually worth much more. I can't use it. Nobody sees it. It's lying down there. It's useful, but actually quite useless too. You see, I'm trying to get it. Sometimes I ask the Lord, God, what are you inheriting in us? You see, all those little things, our weaknesses, our failures, our frustrations, our problems, and yet God calls us His inheritance. I say, wow. I like to be somebody's inheritance. Not possible to be everybody's inheritance. But God sees us and calls us His inheritance. Wow, this is called sayang. Okay, if you ever go to see Dr. Tan Ping Hui for your teeth, he will sayang you to death. He will say, okay, don't worry, sayang, sayang, don't worry, sayang, sayang, all the way. And it's over. Yeah, it's all done. That's a nice way of doing it. So this is very biblical, Ping Hui. You see, this is how God sees us, as His inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? Right? This is exactly what it is. Now, go on further. Talk about, we are His people. You know what the word holy actually represents? Set apart. This one is set apart. I hope your $10 are set apart, right? You're not going to use it, carry $10. Of course, it's set apart. That's what holy means. It's special to you. It's precious to you. That's what it means. Holy. Isn't it wonderful? And that's what we are to God. And we try to be like God in every sense of the word. So what's our response? Naturally, God will take me to be part of His people. God will see me as His inheritance. God will see me as holy in His sight. I am going to love this God. Most naturally, I am going to love this God. Naturally. You know, you try to play with the little children. Some children eat more easily to play with. Some children, the moment you approach, they cling to the mother. Okay, this is not the time. But they will cling to the mother or the father. It's natural. That love is there. If we really understand who God is, what a wonderful God He is, naturally, that sense of love will be there. That's what it means. You shall love the Lord. It's not just a command. It's teaching you how to love the Lord. Right? I like what Walter Trowbridge once wrote, a book. He says, love is a thing that must be learned. We need to learn how to love. And it's how to love with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Of course. We learn. So this is what we are trying to look at. Now, that's an interesting question that I just had. I can answer this question straight away, actually. But take a look at these things here, right? So we walk in the Lord's ways. So if you are a man who believes in righteousness, walking in the Lord's ways, you understand it straight away. We understand this immediately. There's no problem. Right? So this is something that we understand and appreciate. We walk in His ways. We fear Him. To many people on the outside, it's very hard. But actually, when you know the Lord, you love the Lord, you know His word, you know the wisdom of it all, there's no other way. This is the way I want to walk. Naturally so. So the path for the Lord's people is the same. We all understand it. We may appreciate it from different angles. And that's what we all are. So Ms. Tsung came to me and said, you know, Pastor, this is my life. I live in this kind of life. We should be righteous. We should be decent. That's good. It's the same with Mr. Chong there, KK is there. Same, we're brought up in this way to be righteous, to be good. That's how God wants it to be for us. But here is the plus factor. The plus factor is God Himself. If we understand righteousness, we understand God's righteousness. If we understand goodness, we understand God's goodness. Except that His is absolute, ours is relative. So we move from the relative to the positive to the absolute. That's not a problem. And so we enter into a covenant relationship with God. Can you see this? So there is the use of the history. History is to tell us. It's not theory. It's real life. Which I really appreciate. Because that's how we understand God in the context of real life. Right? But when we learn the lessons of life, we put it into a truth principle. So this is the truth. This is the principle. We call that theology. So you combine history and theology, and you have the book of Jeremiah. And we understand, so this is what it is. Can you see this? Right? So it's not a problem. Here is Exodus. That's history. That's how God dealt with the people. You saw how I brought you on eagle's wings. Right? I brought you to myself. God wants to draw us near to Himself. Of course, why want to worship a God who is far away when He can be right there with you? It makes no sense for us to think about a relationship with God only in a very factual manner. The challenge is to draw near to a God who wants to draw near to us. That's logical. That's natural. That is how we know we are God's people. Right? Now, the connection with this very carefully to the next part of it. Now, this is important. What is the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament? So the question raised was, how much of the Old Testament is in the New Testament? See, a lot of people think that this is Old Testament. No. Next year, as I said to you, we will begin studying the book of Isaiah. The theme for next year's camp is, "This is my name forever," taken from Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And I will trace with you the many different names of God used in the book of Isaiah to introduce you to Isaiah. There are 66 chapters there. I have just read 22 chapters this week already. This is preparation. This is my name forever. Do you know God's name? What is the name of God? God of Lord of Hosts. What does that mean? What does it mean when He says the Holy One of Israel? Each name has got its own set of lessons to learn. It's wonderful. And I would like to introduce you to the idea of true prophecy. See, there are many false prophets out there. And I want very much to introduce the idea, what is true prophecy? And Book of Isaiah is exciting. Please sign up. Think about this thing here, right? But usually about this time, I tell you next year's theme anyway, so this is true to form, so we'll look at what it is. And it's wonderful to look at it. See, many people don't know the Lord. So now we are in the New Testament age. Is there a difference? So one of the ways in which you see the link, okay? Now this is, you know, in Novena Square and what's that hospital? Tan Tock Seng Hospital, there is a link way. Right? With me, I don't know how to use a link way. I get lost. That happens. You see, when people don't know the link way, they get lost. They do it the old-fashioned way. Go downstairs, go to dinner. But, you know, at least I'm on safe ground. So if you study Isaiah with me, I will not show you link ways. I will show you the old way. At least you won't get lost. You will know what it is. Same, you know, when I go to SGH, one day Dr. William Huang was there. He says, I show you a link way. So he showed me, I don't know which level it went on there. Next time I tried it, I didn't know where I was. So I'm not very good at link ways. I will go down to the bottom and go down there. Same, when I, NUH, Dr. Tan Hui Chim, he said, Pastor, I show you a new way. So you see, he concludes when I say, okay. The next time I try it, so I am not very good for link ways, except Bible link ways. This one I can tell you, because I can show you Bible links a little bit better. But you see, you could be like me here. Other link ways you may know, Bible link ways you may not know. So I will show you the Bible link way. Okay, one of the ways in which they link is what we call terminology. We use the same language. Right? So if we see the same language, then you know the difference between the two. Can you see this? When we see, for example, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we see this very, very clearly, and we will take a look at this and then look at this very, very clearly. Okay? Chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation. How about that? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, own special people. What does it tell you? We are looking at very similar language. Can you see this? That's how you see the link. You know the link is there when we look at the terminology and they are similar. They don't have to be exactly identical, which is not possible because of language translation. Right? You don't need to be exactly what it is. But you know this is a dynamic equivalent. Right? So sometimes when Hui Cheng translates for me, I know that she only does the dynamic equivalent. I didn't exactly say at that those wings here, but she says that. But as long as we have an equivalent, we have the same meaning. Right? This is important. The same thing when I go in India and Pastor Bhaskaran interprets for me. I say a few words, then he goes. Whoa, Pastor Bhaskaran, stop, what are you saying? Did I say all that? Or is that Tamil must be explained the same way? Well, I understand, he says, Pastor, but I need to explain this. There is a pre-background, there's a content and a post for one statement. So I just, Lord may have mercy on us. You know, I had to trust him completely, you know. But you see, we use terminology, we all understand the challenges. You cannot get an exact thing. But as long as we get the meaning, we have the same idea. See, that's what terminology is. So we have 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, and we see this. First, a generation there. A chosen generation. So we have two words combined. First is the idea of chosen. That's how God, He calls people, He chooses people, right? Same. Generation, in other words, a whole mass of people. Right? That's the idea. Same idea. So does it apply? Yes. That's how you see the equivalent. So what is found in the old and what is found in the new, that's what it is. So there is an old statement which I want to share with you. Okay? The new, that is a new covenant, is in the old concealed. Okay, so what is old covenant is actually concealed New Testament truth. What is the new and the old is that this is now revealed. So the old is concealed in the history, in the prophecy, and the statements, right? The promises. But in the new covenant, they are explained, they are revealed, they are applied. So now we see the correspondence. That's what it is. So really what we want to do every time we study books of the Old Testament is to find the New Testament equivalent. For example, Isaiah 7, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. So we look at Matthew chapter 1, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. So there we see the balance. You see, that's how we see the link between the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 here, we see that link which is very, very, very obvious. Can you see this? So this is very clear. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You remember the last night as mentioned, the Lord said he would draw them near. You know this phrase, to draw near, is actually a phrase that is reserved for the priests. They are the only ones allowed to draw near into the temple. The rest cannot. Right? Nobody else can draw near. The high priest, once a year, into the holiest. That's it. They are allowed to draw near. But if we are all part of the priesthood, and we are, then we can draw near to the Lord. See? That's how you see the link. See, this is easier link than Novena Link Way and SGH Link Way and NUH. Is there a link way between the Khoo Teck Puat Hospital and your... No, good for you. I can get lost, you know. Sometimes George asked me, he said, my son is in this ward. He didn't tell me which block. So he went down there. So I went, hey, this is a clinic. Oh, you mean the ward? He didn't tell me ward. So he tell me this is where he was. So he went down there. There's nobody there. This is the clinic. Oh, then as I realized, went downstairs all the way again. No link way. Went downstairs all the way again. And then said, okay, now we find the ward. Now we have finally found him. Sure. You see, you need this science. That's how you see terminology. So if it's a clinic, don't just simply say bed. You must know which block. Otherwise, you go down there, wrong block. Same. KK, you must know which block. Women's tower or children's tower. If you go to the men's tower, it's not there. Right? So you need to understand this is where the terminology comes in. And that's useful. That's how we understand this thing here. So this is how it works. Now, the concept over here in 1 Peter 2 is beautiful. So sometimes the New Testament has its own imagery. So now we see, the link, right? So we see a great link. Now, once you have established the link, there is no need to just simply there. You see an explanation and an application. You see insights. This is what I like to do when I attempt to write poems. The tax is there. What is the essence of it all? And for me, the greatest challenge is to put it into poetry form, because it helps me to catch this. Thank you. Right? So it really, really helps me to want to take it out of this. Yeah. Oops, sorry. Thank you. Okay? So this is the idea of it. So this is what we call you have a new insights. Tonight, I will be speaking about the new covenant. Right? So the old covenant is there, but now we have a new covenant where new insights will be given. That is always my challenge. Whenever, every time I do a poem, I look for that something new insight. I'm trying to find the essence. I'm trying to figure out one aspect or two to highlight. That is teaching ministry. Right? So the Lord Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone, which is a wonderful concept. But you cannot have a building only one stone. That makes no sense. The concept of his people is now expanded to all the other aspects of stones added on. This is the chosen generation, and together we form on Christ. That's what it is. We form on Christ. And so we take our order. You see what I'm trying to say? It's the same thing here. When when you do parade, you form the parade. You turn and you look. Straight away, the last person stands, the person moves, we all did. He stands still and we all turn. Either forward or backward, we form that line. We form on the person. Same. We form on Christ. This is the chief cornerstone. Okay? This is living stone. We are living stones. And I think this is something that we cannot but appreciate. I think this is something that we want to take a look at. The living stone. Now, I must tell you a little story about this living stone idea, which I told India. I'm going to tell it to you, but maybe you haven't heard it. Years ago, we used to live in a place called Jalan Bangau. And you know, we're going to make a patio, put up in front, and there were two pillars. And two pillars were made of bricks. The person who was hired to do the brick, he was called a master bricklayer. You know, and he was paid quite a bit of money every day. And I still remember his name. His name is Chicken. So Chicken, his name was called Chicken. And so he says, I do a nice wall, nice column for you. But I need to get the right kind of bricks. I say, sure, go and get bricks. The next day, a whole lorry came. Two bales of bricks came. I say, excuse me, how many bricks you need to bring this here? You don't need so many bricks. Why you order so many bricks for? What do I do with all the bricks? He said, no, you don't understand. So he took the brick and he looked at it. He says, this one, okay. This one, no good. This one, no good. Out of one whole bale, he only took 10 bricks. Ouch. It went to the other bale. He took another 10 bricks. Excuse me, I asked, uncle, what are you doing? He said, you don't understand. Bricks are alive. He's a master bricklayer. I didn't understand. I only understood the money flying. So there he is. And he took forever to build that column. He says, you cannot build at one time. You must build slowly. Then settle 2 days. Then he'll come back. And then, so long, 2 days. I say, excuse me, whole day through. He looked at it. And then 2 days. And then it took him more than a whole month to erect that one pillar. So by the way, finally it was done. A second lorry load had to come in. I remember the two lorry loads. What do I do with all the other bricks? He says, whatever you want. So we had so many bricks, we built all around the, you remember old Bangau? So many barbecue pits. You know why they came? Now you know why. The barbecue pits were made of rejected bricks. And every brick, he says, you see, this is living. For the life of me, I cannot see why he's living. To me, they're all dead, they're all the same. No, he said, you see this one, little bit here, chip here, little bit chip there, no good. And he began, oh, you know, that really struck me. 1 Peter 2 came to mind. He chooses. What? Those who are, he gives them a heart. 2, they draw close to him. 3, they have pledged themselves. This is living bricks. And so that brick was there. It took 2 months ultimately to do both sides. 2 lorry loads. The rest of the junks were junk. See, to be God's people, not easy to find. Really not easy to find. Unfortunately. And this is what we want to appreciate. These are living stones. And whoever you are, if God gives you a heart to understand him, if God sees a good heart inside you, he draws you to himself, you are part of that living brick. He wants to breathe life into you. And together we form life. That's what it means to be living stones. To the ordinary person, you cannot see. But to the master builder, he knows exactly what to see, what to pick, how to choose, how to fit, how to slowly build it up. But I must tell you, that pillar that took the whole load of the patio in front, those 2 pillars were enough to be up there throughout. For the next 20 years we lived there, it was strong. That's what it was. See, God wants a structure to be strong, to be an established member, an established congregation. So you build slowly. Bethany was not built in 1 year or 4 years. It took us many years to lay the foundation. Many years to slowly expand it. And we're still growing as a living church, as we should. That's what it means. Can you see what we're trying to get at? So this is the concept of transference of a prophecy to the future. The apostle Peter understood it and put it together and said, we are living stones. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. Together, God forms his people as one. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We are the living stones. Now, this is important. Right? Now, flip the page to page 13 now. Okay? Now, the question was raised, where do we Gentiles come in? Well, look at 1 Peter 2 very clearly. Okay? We are his own special people. Remember Exodus 19 verse 5? This is Deuteronomy 7 and 6 as well. They're all together the same. One, we proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once upon a time we were in darkness. So let me ask you a riddle. Okay? When is soap used and will not make you clean? Answer. Moses' foam party. Plenty of foam. Nobody is clean. Well, that's what we're looking at. Am I making sense to you? So when we take a look at it, once we were in darkness, the Lord shines light on us. Suddenly we understand. So this is the light. I had some light. Remember, God gives us light. To everyone, he gives light. And some people walk in the light of their little righteousness that they have. But now there is greater light. We understand this great light. We now walk in the light of the Lord. We are his people there. His people are people who have walked out of darkness, out of very dim light, into the brightness of his Son. We were once not a people. Who were the ones called not a people? Gentiles. They're called lo ami, not my people. But now they are his people. We are his people now. We become his people because of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that you are part of God's people? You know what God does? He gives to every true believer the Holy Spirit inside him. As a seal and as a sign that you belong to God. You don't ask. He is already given. Of course. That's exactly the beauty of it all. And so we just step into the light. So this is the light. Yes. When God plans something, he's not like us. We plan something, we forget. We all to the causeway, forget our passport. God doesn't forget things like that. He plans our salvation to the minutest detail. And that includes the giving of the Holy Spirit, because he knows without him we can't function. And so he gives. Well, that's what it is. That's how we understand it. And he brings us to himself. Can you see this? So this is absolutely wonderful. Now, there is another apostle called Paul. Okay? Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul. Thus the two apostles were honored. And so there was Peter and there was Paul. And this is Paul's understanding of the same idea. Okay, now take a look this time around in the book of Ephesians. Before 1 Peter, we look at the book of Ephesians, and it is absolutely wonderful. Take a look at this passage. It's one of the most beautiful passages we could come. Let's take a look at this. Okay? A long time ago, we read in verse 14, there was a huge divide between the Jews and the non-Jews. They were called Gentiles. Okay? They were simply called the nations, ta ethne. This is a word here. Simply called the nations, the Gentiles. Right? The divide was huge. And the Lord made this divide disappear. He took away that wall. We read, He became our peace. He made both one. The wall of separation is no more. He has abolished in His flesh the enmity as well. The law of commandments and ordinances to create Himself one new person. We cannot ever keep all the laws of God perfectly. There is no way we can do it. So what the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, came to do was to take away all these things. And so He has formed a new entity in His body. So in this body of Christ, we have both Jews and Gentiles and everybody else inside here. This is a beautiful illustration. We are reconciled to God, verse 16. In one body, through the cross. The enmity between God and man is no more. Right? No more. That's it. If a person wants to apply to become a citizen of Australia, they will ask you, have you had any previous conviction? And you say yes, but only one. One little conviction. Your application will be thrown out. You don't need to commit 10,000 sins. You need to break the law. And that's it. Right? But God has removed the enmity. Remove the penalty. Remove everything else so that we can be reconciled to God. That is how we form that one body. We become His people. Now that is beautiful to see. Now that is how we are reconciled to God. And so peace was preached. We have access to God by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who links us to the Lord. Now that is so clear, the salvation story here. Now, what happens is, over here, look at 1 Peter 2 concept over here. This is very clear, but put it in a different way. We are no longer strangers. God doesn't see us as PR. Or visitor, visa. We are not strangers. We are not foreigners. Can you see this? We are fellow citizens. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And Paul says, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Same concept as 1 Peter. Remember, we link. Same terminology, similar terminology with new insights. So they are linked. Can you see this? So Jeremiah 7:11, 7:4, 24:7. Can you see this? 30, 22, and now this. They are all linked. And wonderfully so. The whole building, remember, built, fitted together. We are fitted together, one brick at a time. And we use it, and a wise master builder builds us one upon another until we have a holy temple growing up. We are being built together. And we are joined in that one Spirit.
So whether you are in Myanmar, or you are in Australia, whether you're in India, or whether you are in Singapore, we have that one spirit. We have that one body of Christ. We have that one people. We are God's people. Beautifully described in the New Testament. There we see the link between effectively the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that central person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see the beauty of it all? To me, it is absolutely breathtaking to understand all these things here. And so we have access as God's people to God. We may draw near to Him. We are His people. And later on, I hope to share this with you and tomorrow about the concept of Zion. We are forsaken. Zion is forsaken, not in God's plan. There is a beautiful plan of God to make us truly that holy mountain of God. We are Zion. We are His people. We are fellow citizens of heaven. We are not strangers. We are His people. Once in darkness, now in the light. Once not His people, now His people. Now there is your beautiful doctrine of my people, in a nutshell. All right, any questions you want to raise up? Is this clearer now? I mean, you just imagine, and how does God see us? This is my inheritance. How does God see us? Special treasure. You know, it's amazing what people collect. I mean, seriously, some people collect all sorts of things. Sometimes you just wonder, there was a young man, he collects Barbie dolls. And he has a collection of hundreds of Barbie dolls. I have no idea why, how it is. You know, sometimes you see in Yahoo the pictures of people who want to be Barbie dolls. Oh, this brings out the whole new meaning to the word bimbo. Sorry to say. I mean, you just look at it. What is this person doing? Squeeze until the stomach is, you can hardly eat anything. Right? Maybe half an egg. That's it. And then you look at it, you just wonder what's happening. Really. You know, when we look at how we look at life, we look at things, you look at, sometimes I always ask myself, what does God see in us? What does God see in us? And the 31st chapter of Jeremiah is beautiful. Whom God includes. It's amazing. The lame, the sick, the blind. He's going to take them in as His treasure. Wow. That is absolutely breathtakingly, astonishingly beautiful. Can you see this? So this is where we see the notes coming useful to help us to see how God sees us. What does it mean to be God's people? All these things here. Right? And of course, in our modern day terms, God will call us His sweetheart, He will call us His darling, but in the Old Testament, He will call you green olive tree. So if you want to call somebody green olive tree, I don't know whether the person will respond. Try that with Yvette, green olive tree. How does that work? Well, if the person understands biblical literature, wow, beautiful, well, that would be wonderful. But if the person is allergic to trees and things like that, green olive tree, there will be World War III coming up. See, it depends on what terminology is being utilized. The point of it all is what God said. I know what my thoughts are toward you. Right? The sins must be forgiven. The wrongs must be corrected. And when they are corrected, They are not just corrected, they are connected. That is the beauty of it all. Not just corrected, connected. And God connects all of us in so many different ways. That's the best thing to do. That's wonderful. Sometimes people go up to Khoo Teck Puat. Straight away will say, Dr. Tan, can you please look after the person? He'll say, yes, don't worry. SGH, you will call Dr. William Wang. Hello, Dr. William Wang, can you? Yeah, sure. We'll drop by and see the person. At NUH, though, we have another Dr. Tan. He said, would you look after? Sure, we will. That's what we do. That's what it means to be God's people. And you know, that's how it works. We are just deeply touched that this is the way in which we, but to us it should be normal, obviously. This is the beauty of it all. Can you see the whole big picture? Right? So we began with Jeremiah chapter 11. Right? Review of what the original covenant promise was like. You shall be my people. They shall be my people. But failed, not so great. So the Lord says, listen, I need to correct you in justice. I need to correct you first. But if you will take the correction, and if your heart comes to me, you draw near to me, you have this heart, you know what I'm going to do? You will be my people. So this morning, we look at what it means to be God's people. Now we link the Old Testament to the New. That we begin to realize it's the same concept. It's just explained. It's just revealed mid more. We are His chosen generation. We are His special people. We are a holy priesthood. We are a kingdom of priests in the language of Exodus 19:5. Different terms, but the same meaning. Together, we form the temple of God today. We are the habitation, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Okay, this is absolutely important for us to understand. All right, any questions you want to raise up before I, some thoughts are just beautiful, they are so rich, you don't want to spoil it by adding a lot more thoughts. Okay, just look at it. Just think it in mind. Look at a progression of thoughts. Can you see this? Once not a people. Yes. In the wilderness, but found grace. And God brought us together. One at a time, bit by bit. And we form on Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. We always must acknowledge Him. And living stones, He pick up their little, put them together to form the body of Christ, the people of God. That's what it is. And it's a beautiful, beautiful concept. And it's just worthwhile to dwell on this quite a bit. What does it mean to be God's people? Historically, theologically, personally, everything must be appreciated. And I want to invite everybody. Okay? If you are not part of God's people, this is an invitation to you. You can be part of God's people. What do I need to do? I need to understand what it means to believe in God. I need to understand who Jesus Christ is, who gave His life for me. I need to understand how I can be convicted to believe in God. And I understand that when I do, He adds me as a living stone into the building called the temple of God. Isn't that wonderful? You see, it's not the individual. God's plan is for a whole temple to be built, a whole structure. And He picks the people who are alive to Him to be His people, to be that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be part of it. And that's the most wonderful thought of all. We can be part of it. And that's what we are. Wonderfully, mercifully, beautifully. Okay? Think about this. Well, let's pray together. As we close this morning, I just want to once again tell you that God wants to give you a heart to know Him. He wants to draw you close to Him, to this understanding. He wants to ask you whether you understand this. Today we talk about how He sees us. We are His special people. We are His inheritance. We are a people chosen by God. We belong to His kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? And I hope that you will say, yes, I am so glad. I want to take my place in God's kingdom. What is your place? He will see you. If your life is a living brick, He'll put you there. And we together form the wonderful church of God, His people. It's wonderful to see this. And I hope that you will understand and appreciate this. Our Father, we thank You for the joy, the privilege of it all, to understand what it means to truly come to faith in a living God. And we become living stones, made alive by God, added to His people, added to His kingdom, part of the great royal family. And Father, we pray that our hearts would respond well, and we will learn to love and to treasure and appreciate what it means to be Your people. Bless us, Father, with these wonderful thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.